faith and law, where Paul is contrasting the two, because the Judaizers had come in and begun to teach the Christians at Galatia that they had to keep the law and get circumcised to get to heaven. And so Paul had to write this book to correct the wrong doctrine. And so we've already seen him continue to contrast the two and show us that it's only by faith that we are justified, that it's only by faith that we are to live, that it's by faith that we are saved, it's by faith that we grow. And even last week, it's by faith that we receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. So tonight, Paul, if you will, drives it home, the purpose of the law. What is the purpose of the law? Why is there a law? Why did God give man a law through Moses? And when we talk about the law, we pretty much are talking about the book of Exodus, book of Leviticus, and parts of the book of Deuteronomy. Pretty much not Numbers, as you'll see when we go through it on Sunday night. That's an accounting of part of the history of Israel. But that's the law. The law of Moses, it's often referred to. And as we know, God took it and nailed it to the cross. Amen? He took it out of the way, Colossians 2:14, nailing it to his cross. So tonight here, starting in verse 15, where we finished last week, Paul again makes it very clear why God gave us the law. Verse 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, could not disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to who the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So our title tonight is The Law Was Our Schoolmaster. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, the privilege to study it together tonight. Pray you use it in our hearts, grow us through it, and may you be honored through this service. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So you probably noticed Paul many, many times referring to the word covenant, referring to the word promises. He's there talking about that promise that he's continually pointed us back to, the original Abrahamic covenant of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, which he then repeated over and over again in Genesis and in Deuteronomy, and then is mentioned many times in the New Testament. And this is the book in which we read, Abraham believed God. This was two Wednesday nights ago, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, teaching us that it's always been by faith that we find salvation in the Lord. Now, was it different back then? Of course it was. The Christ hadn't died yet. But Paul is making it very clear to the Jews primarily and to the Judaizers here that you are not going to earn heaven through the law. And yet, people are still trying, aren't they? trying to earn heaven through the law. So, as we saw last week in verse 8, look back up there again, he said the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So that, again, that Abrahamic covenant had double meaning, as we've seen. It had an Israeli meaning, which is nations that treat Israel properly will be blessed. Nations who mistreat Israel will be cursed. But then God also was sharing that through Abraham's descendant, which was Jesus Christ, everyone would be blessed through Calvary, through salvation. And that is what he's teaching us there, because he mentions there, he says, not to seeds many, but to seed one, which is Christ, which is the passage there. So notice verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, so that God made this promise to Abraham, 430 years later, God gave the law to Moses. So God's giving us a timeline there. He says that the law can't disannul the original promise. The original promise was made to Abraham. And let's look at Genesis 15 again, and we'll look at it again, Genesis 15, 13. Just to be reminded of the wording of this promise. Genesis 15, 13. And this is where the 400 years comes from. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. So there is where he's getting the timeline. The extra 30, of course, was the time from when he gave the original promise, which is Genesis 12. Look there quickly while we're in Genesis. Verse 2, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Paul is explaining that that is fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ, a descendant of Abraham. And so Paul then asked that question, didn't he? Does that mean that the law and the promises are against each other? He said, God forbid. No, they're not against each other. They're not against the promises of God. He said, if you could have gotten to heaven through the law, as he said in verse 21, then righteousness would have been by the law. But this promise, if you go to Romans 4:13, God expounds upon it for us. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, this promise or this covenant has always been there for us. It's just man didn't see it until Jesus. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So we're starting to see now the purpose of the law, aren't we? Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Did you notice he said there, where there is no law, there is no transgression. The law was our schoolmaster. And what God is saying is, the law defines sin for us. Let's face it, it's primarily thou shalt nots, right? The law. It's not only thou shalt nots, but it's mostly thou shalt nots. And it shows us that we can't measure up. It shows us that we are sinners. But without the law, it's all man has is his conscience. And so God gave us the law to lead us to our need to be rescued from the fact that we break the law, our schoolmaster. So back to our passage, verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. In other words, you can't mix them. We've seen this many times, Romans 11, 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. If it's works, if no more grace, you cannot mix the two. And he makes this very clear in this book of Galatians. So verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added, that's a key word there, it was added because of transgressions. It was added because man is a sinner. And notice the word till. That's a key word as well. So it was added temporarily. And of course, the Seventh-day Adventists wouldn't agree with this, but it's there. It was added till something else was going to happen, right? What? The seed should come. That's Jesus. Jesus did away with the law. The law was to end. It was added till. It was added. So we already had the promise of Jesus. We already had the promise of justification by faith. The law was added to show us that we are sinners until the seed should come. Because if you go to Colossians, we'll see it. I quoted this earlier, but let's look at it. Colossians chapter 2. Which makes it very clear that the law was temporary. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Notice the word it, not them, not laws, it, law, singular, one package, the law, was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. So it was added until. And then Paul makes it very clear, if you go to Romans 7:7, of course, this passage is about his own personal struggle with sin, which we're not going to focus on, but we are going to focus on, then why did God give the law? Why was it added? It was added until Jesus, but why was it added, quote unquote? Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. So you see, he's made it very clear. The law defines sin. He said, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me a manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. So he's saying the law is not a bad thing. The law came from God, and the law came to define our wickedness. It is our, as we'll see, our schoolmaster. So back to our passage, verse 21. He says, is the law against the promises? God forbid. If there had been a law which had given righteousness, then it should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded, verse 22, all under sin. So like Paul said, I had not known lust except the Bible said, thou shalt not covet. Then I found out, I'm a sinner. And as it says here, the scripture. So the scripture has concluded that we are all sinners. So by giving us the law, God gave us written proof that we all fail. As we, you know, most of you know Romans 3:23. All have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. So the scripture hath included all under sin, verse 22 of Galatians 3, that the promise by faith. So this has been our focus for the past two chapters. By faith. The promise by faith. So what that promise is the original promise of justification by faith, which we've already focused on. We're justified by faith, Romans 3:28. Romans 5:1, justified by faith. And on we could go. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith. Galatians 2:16, we might be justified by the faith. Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith. Galatians 3:8, in thee shall all nations be blessed because God would justify the heathen through faith. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:26, you're all the children of God by faith. Most of you know Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. What are the next two words? Through faith. So the promise is by faith. Amen. It's all by faith. It's all through faith. It's all by the faith that it might be given to them that believe. So he's defining faith for us. It's when we place our trust and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe on him. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life, Jesus said in John 6:47. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And on it goes. So it's believing that brings us salvation. It's not the law. And the promise is by faith. So he says, verse 23, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. So before faith came, all we had was the law. You should praise God every day. You were born in the church age. I'm telling you. Imagine being born in the age of the law. And that's all you had, was just this law telling us how wicked we are. And then the Pharisees and scribes come along and add hundreds of extra stuff to it and say, "If you got to keep all of this if you have any hope of heaven." So then he defines it for us, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ. So that's kind of the nail in the coffin on the law, isn't it? The law was not given to take us to heaven. The law was given to what? Bring us to Christ. To show us that we needed a Savior. To show us that we are wicked. Notice Romans 3:20, if you would. And we'll see it again. Paul mentioned, remember in Romans 7:7, I had not known sin but by the law. And here in Romans 3:20, look what he says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So there it is. The law shows us we are sinners. The law does not get us to heaven. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might, which we've looked at for many times, be justified by faith. So verse 25, of our last verse, after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So we have been rescued from the law, from the curse of the law, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, from the consequences of breaking the law, which is to go to hell. We've been rescued. Hallelujah. We're no longer under that schoolmaster. Why? Because we've exercised faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have been justified by faith. We've received the Spirit of God by faith. Therefore, we are, the schoolmaster has been done away with, like we saw in Colossians 2:14. And it's also Ephesians 2:15, if you want to turn there quickly, just to give you another verse. So Colossians 2:14 says he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Notice here in Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's another word for enemy, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance. So notice Jesus abolished it. Abolished our enemy, which was the law. And then we'll look at just one more in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 3. I forgot to write this one down. Yes, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Notice verse 3. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So we get some context there, tables of stone. So verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation, that's the law, be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness, that's salvation through Christ, exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So notice it says done away. So this tables of stone, it's been done away with, nailed to the cross. It was our schoolmaster. And if you've been born again, you're no longer under the schoolmaster. Now you are justified by faith. So again, Paul explaining that the law done away with, it's by faith. It's by faith that we are saved. It's by faith that we receive the Spirit of God. It's by faith that we are to live. It's by faith that we grow. It's all by faith. The law was just our schoolmaster. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word in this beautiful passage that teaches us the purpose of the law. And thank you for giving us the law and teaching us about our sinfulness. Lord, that we might see our need for a Savior. Thank you that you led us to repent of that sin and to trust the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be rescued from the law and given justification, given the Holy Spirit, given a home in heaven, all by faith. Thank you. We love you. We pray in Christ's name.